Hospital Group Netcare were out with their interims today for the 6 months ended March 2019. The healthcare group reported that revenue from continuing operations rose by 5.6% to 10.5 billion rand, while normalized group EBITDA increased by 1.3% to just over 2.1 billion rand. Shareholders are set to get an interim dividend of 47 cents. That's up 6.8% on the year prior. Well, to give us the backstory on the company, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Richard Friedland. He's the CEO of Netcare. Richard, your group profit after tax stood at just over 1.1 billion rand. That's quite a slowdown from the previous 3.6 billion rand in the year before. What happened?
Well, I think one's got to see that on a normalized basis and ignore the previous year, because that included unusual profits on a non-cash basis from the United Kingdom. So really, in terms of what we're seeing this year, this is purely the South African operations as such, and I think it's somewhat misleading just to look at last year in and of itself because of the impact of the United Kingdom.
Okay, all right. So coming to period under review, your earnings growth looks quite pedestrian. One of the challenges that you've pointed out to is that medical scheme membership appears to have stagnated, while med schemes are also increasing the number of hospitals that they're working with or where their members can go. Just elaborate on that for us.
Yes, I think we've seen a tightening of the market over the last 6 months. We've seen people being concerned about their disposable income. Those who are on medical aid are choosing lower cost options. They're buying down, in other words, and they're choosing network options. These network options come at lower premiums, but the medical schemes demand of us lower prices in order to participate in these options as well. We're also not seeing any growth in formal employment in the country. And as a result, we're not seeing any growth in medical schemes. And lastly, I think there are a lot of competitors out there.
Yes.
This market is highly competitive. So all in all, a very constrained outlook that we see over the next year or two.
So in December of last year, you finally disposed of your BMI healthcare asset in the UK, which you were not having much fun with up until you disposed of it. Did you make any money from that? And if so, are the proceeds dedicated to anything in particular?
No, we exited the United Kingdom. I think it was the right decision. It was a well-considered decision. We decided not to invest anything further in the United Kingdom, and to focus on the South African market, which, although is challenged in the short term, we think has a lot of growth in the medium to long term. We do still own six hospitals in the United Kingdom, properties, six hospital properties. We own 56% of six hospitals, and we are looking to dispose that. So no further proceeds from the United Kingdom until we have sold those six hospitals. They're valued at approximately 200 million rand in our books.
Right. So you indicate that your net financial expenses increased to 246 million in the period. That's compared to 86 million in the year prior. What drove up those expenses?
Well, we have taken on more debt in South Africa because we paid out a special dividend and we did buy back shares. So there was an extra billion rand that came through last year. And also, one has to remember that we earned additional interest from the debt instrument we had in the United Kingdom in the prior year. So the year-on-year comparison, again, is not absolute apples for apples. So what I would say is that we have higher debt levels in South Africa, perfectly manageable. In the comparative period, we have an additional 600 million rand of debt, and clearly there are interest charges on those.
You also indicate that your CapEx for financial year 2019 is going to be around 1.6 billion rand. What will you be investing in?
Of the 1.6 billion, about 600 million is expansion CapEx. That's to complete the 100 beds that we're going to be opening at Moore Park Hospital in November, and 28 beds that we'll be opening at St. Augustine's in KwaZulu-Natal. And the rest of that largely is on repairs and maintenance of our existing network, and also the rollout of our digital strategy.
Tell us a little bit about that digital strategy.
Well, it's really like putting Nikes on a dinosaur. I think we're trying to catch up to the rest of the world, and we want to get away from this incredibly archaic, manual, paper-driven, and inaccurate way of recording healthcare records. And we want to be able to give people their healthcare records on an app, on their mobile device, or on their iPad or computer, so that they can be responsible and participate in their healthcare. And this is a 3-year journey for us, and I think it's going to revolutionize the way we deliver healthcare.
Sounds excellent. And of course, you'd need to be very wary around the protection of people's information in that process.
Absolutely right. All of what we're doing is POPIA compliant. In other words, there's an act coming out known as the Protection of Personal Information Act.
Yes.
And we've made sure that this is completely compliant with that. And obviously, we've put a lot of measures to safeguard those issues. But I would argue that if you had to walk into any facility, not necessarily our own,
yes,
many of the results and many of files are readily available to visitors or other people to look at. And I think this will actually be a far more secure platform for storing information.
So long as in the process of migrating to becoming more modern, you don't end up hiring robots instead of real doctors to do the work to save costs.
Well, I think we've yet to come across either robots that can take the place of nurses and or doctors. But I think that when you look at it, often nurses are managing the records and not managing the patient, because there's so much manual intervention and notes to write and to record. There's so much repetition,
yes,
that we end up managing a record for medico-legal reasons as opposed to managing the patient, the person,
yes,
who's sitting in the bed. And we're trying to drive a person-centered approach, a person-centered health and care strategy. And I think this will free up our nurses' time to engage with the patients, have the notes in front of them, electronically in front of them, and spend more time engaging with the patients.
Excellent. So last year you acquired the mental health clinics, Akeso. What's the progress with those in terms of revenue and profit, and are there any plans to expand this offering?
Yes, so they grew very nicely over the past 6 months, by some 20%. Somewhat flattering because it's the impact of two hospitals that we opened recently in 2017 and 18, which are maturing. But the run rate there is about 10% growth. We are opening a new facility in Richards Bay. We do have licenses elsewhere in the country that we'll be announcing later on in the year. So we do see some expansion in mental health. And over the last 6 months, we opened up 51 new beds, 28 at Keso in Parktown, Johannesburg, and another 23 at the new Akeso in George.
Right. So following the Competition Commission's findings in its health market inquiry, where it found that hospitals were over-servicing patients and a whole number of other issues as well, what feedback did you guys give in regard to this, and where is the process so far?
Well, I'm not sure about the issue of over-servicing coming up within the health market inquiry, but notwithstanding that, there were 67 submissions made. The health market inquiry has published its provisional findings. There were three seminars held in late April regarding that, and we're expecting them to release their final recommendations and findings at the end of September.
When I refer to over-servicing, my understanding is that they found that instead of perhaps doing one x-ray, a hospital would do 10 when it didn't need to. That's sort of over-servicing that I'm referring to.
I see what you mean. So if I can just answer that for you, we don't determine what a doctor orders. Firstly, we don't own the x-ray facilities or pathology services, so it's not even in our interest. And secondly, we can't dictate to doctors when they admit patients and when they discharge them.
Yes.
We don't employ doctors, and as a result, the liability for that care really rests with the doctor in determining are they going to admit a patient for treatment or not. We provide all of the nursing and all of the care services, but we certainly can't dictate in any manner or form what tests are ordered. and or what treatment is advised for those patients.
I hear you, Dr. Friedland. One last thing. Now that the elections are done and dusted and there's an opportunity for a new dawn with a new government, what are your hopes about the future for the South African economy?
Well, we're hoping that there are going to be some structural changes that drive growth. We all recognize that we've got to work hard to ensuring improved access to affordable health and care, and that we can't build a society that's sustainable without having a healthy society. So as the private sector, Netcare is really attempting to drive solutions around training, around capacitation, and around access that can aid and assist government in this.
That was Dr. Richard Friedland. He's the CEO of Netcare.